It's time to lead the people. The show for aspiring leaders at every level. If you want to boost your self-confidence, get noticed, and maximize your impact by leading others, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Matt Pepsel. Ready to lead? Follow me. My very special guest specializes in navigating the intricacies of the real estate sector. He has worked with companies from all parts of the globe, building a diverse knowledge base at the intersection of the workplace and workforce dynamics. He has learned to navigate diverse client needs, with each having distinct organizational cultures, goals, and expectations. He is Andrew Zhang. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
What's going on, Matt? Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you.
You and I had a quick conversation. I don't even know how long it's been. But you had made a connection for me I never really thought about, and that's the relationship between our workspaces, the physical environment in which we work, and how that really shows up in our people dynamics. So I'm looking forward to digging into that with you today.
That's what we do here 24/7. That's always what I'm thinking about, and it's certainly changed the dynamic of getting people back to work and how and why.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in the pandemic, so many things have changed. It's all I see all day long is all the effects we're still absorbing in the world of work, but none of that has changed probably as much as where we do our work. So I wonder, you have this unique perspective because you're in Manhattan. I wonder if you can take us back, give me a glimpse of what it was like in the Manhattan real estate market, both before, during, and after, you know, really March of 2020.
Well, you know, real estate was booming. 2018, 2019. It was the era, I call it, you know, the flexible workspace era. There's a place for everybody to go to work. You know, WeWork became the largest occupier of real estate in Manhattan at that time. And then we kicked off what was called Hudson Yards, right? It sold out faster than a Taylor Swift concert, I like to say. You know, companies, they made these long-term commitments to these workplaces. And then you fast forward 12 months and a global shutdown hit. Right. Memories and implementation of long-term collaborative workplaces, you know, they were a thought of the past. Like, was it extinct? So, you know, the strategy for myself and real estate advisors, owners, we were now focused on the target of who wants to come to work, right? Why they want to come to work and how to get them back to work. So these concepts we're still working towards, but, and they're the major motivators, but I think we've finally entered the rebuild where who wants to come back to work, it's been answered. The why they want to come back to work has been established, but not implemented like fully. And the how, right? It's now that is at the real estate forefront. How do we get them back to work?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the questions I have for you for sure, is that the client's interests have evolved. It sounds like I've seen different aspects along the spectrum of we're going to order our employees to come back to work. Some are like, we're going to entice them to come back to work, and we sure hope they do, and everywhere in between. So how do clients present to you? Like, how do they describe in their own words, like what they're looking to accomplish now in this new world of work of ours?
Well, we first of all, only really want to work with clients who want to be back at work, right? Who want to be there. You know, it's, oh my God, is the commercial real estate market okay? Or are you doing well? And well, I'm focused on companies that want to be in commercial real estate. They want to be back to work, right? But we have to understand also, it's always been industry specific. You know, many industries, they've always needed the workspace, healthcare, education, retail, life sciences, right? They've always had to be present regardless, right? So making their workplace better was one thing, but then it's focused on bringing, you know, the professional services back, right? So from a scientific approach to it, the organizations have to create the why, right? The need and the want to get employees engaged back to work. You know, we were always looking to identify the organization's consensus structure. Is this a dictatorship or is this a democratic process that's going to be driven, right? So we take a step back and we see the employees, where they're coming from, right? Where to find the best talent for these specific roles and the seats being filled. And then the demographic of the workforce, it's vital to examine as well. But to create the culture, and we're going to get into this in a little bit later, is we've got to assess the awareness and the feedback of what they want. So the workforces, they're beginning to implement surveying, assessment, studying, which we'll get into, and to understand what drives the workforce back. But, you know, regardless, there's always been the need for a lot of different service programs, right, to have to be in physical space. So why do just the retail workers, the healthcare workers, the education workers, they're all coming back every single day and doing it without any change. But now it's, you know, okay, well, we can, if all those sectors can get their employees back, why can't we get, you know, the high paid you know, compensated employees and those that are doing, you know, big projects that are going to affect the communities at large from a legal standpoint, from an accounting standpoint, back to work also. So there's a formula in there, you know, there's a recipe in there, and that's what's at the forefront.
I had never really thought about that. There's almost this tiering where people that have to be on site, you know, healthcare workers, you mentioned construction workers, for example, even during the teeth of the pandemic, it was like, well, that's too bad. We have to figure out how to make this work. Otherwise, we're not working.
I mean, buy more than Williams 7-Eleven stock during the pandemic. That went up. You know, those employees had no choice, and those corporate companies as well. They needed to make sure they were rocking and rolling full steam ahead.
And now we're talking about, okay, how do we start to recognize that there's this new opportunity, but we have to maybe change our approach a little bit to get to those next tiers down of people who really would benefit and prefer to be back to work.
Yes.
So that's what I'm really excited to be chatting with you about. But I know also in our recent conversation, you had mentioned to me that there's a new executive who's kind of showing up in these real estate discussions now, which is the Chief Human Resources Officer, the CHRO. My question to you, Andrew, is what's driving a CHRO's interest in entering into the real estate discussion, and what do they really need to know about the real estate industry?
You know, is it also known as the chief of people, right?
Sure.
Chief of talent, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, those roles, in the past and still present, they're designed to find the right fit for the position, right? But at times those fits, they might not be the best fit even for the culture of the company, right? So the workplace and the company real estate is actually a measure of finding what physical traits similarly minded people would choose to spend time in, right? Traits like geography, strong corporate branding and identity, open layout, mixed or office intensive design. But why I'm going so, you know, specific into that is the chiefs of people, chiefs of talent, are they bringing that perspective into when they're recruiting, right? Are they bringing the right, finding the right person, not just for the position, but for the culture of the company that's based off of the workplace, right? And that you come into. So it's got to be a more collaborative approach for when you're finding talent today, because you're finding a place for your workforce to come together and to be a right fit. And you know what? At times, you're not going to know if the employee is the right fit for the company. They might be the right fit for the position, mm-hmm. okay? But you're not going to know until they're there. So what's a better way to make and help understand whether this employee is going to fit well? Do they like the workplace that they're coming into, right? Am I designing it well? We all know everyone cares about geography, right? You pick a job, and we'll focus on that too. Of, you know, whether it's now, hey, what's really important? It's the where you go to work, right? The hybrid versus the on-site versus the fully remote, okay? And that goes into what chief of people are selling, right? Towards the employee. But today more than ever, it's if the chief of people is designed to get you in to the office, then that's got to be part of the program of choosing, right? So they have to be more in line with the decision making more than ever. They're on the forefront of people and what they need and what people are looking for, right? So the workforce measures location very high on the list. Post COVID, it seems to be remote, hybrid, on site as the measurement being used. But then also we want them to be able to give input, you know, into what the talent that they're recruiting wants. To make the right culture. So are there gyms? Is that important? Quiet spaces, outdoor spaces, you know, golf simulators, are all the resumes you're seeing, are they all golfers, right? Are there interests? I hope that when, you know, chiefs of human resources and people, they're choosing, they're making decisions for who's going to join the company. They get to know them a little bit, you know, better than just what's on their experience from a professional standpoint.
I had never made a connection before, but you're so right. We always talk about fit to role. That makes sense. We hire somebody who's not a fit for role, it's not going to last very long. But then we talk about fit to manager. We talk about fit to team, fit to culture. But now when we're being as intentional as you've been describing about the office environment, for example, I need to be equally intentional with my recruitment efforts and outreach, for example. So it's one thing to say, well, we want somebody who's going to be collaborative. Okay, but are they going to collaborate remotely and use a lot of remote collaboration tools? Are they going to be on site? If so, how are they going to be, have they had any experience working in an open office environment? That can be a little unsettling if you've never done it before.
Think about all the interviewing that took place that was remote, which was never before. You know, everyone, think about all, you know, we have a lot of corporate clients that even do recruiting. And you know, a lot of it is you come into the office, they have all these built interview rooms, right? So that's just to get in the door to then go interview at the actual company,
right?
Right, and then they go there, but that never took place, right? So now it's you almost want to use it as a sell. It used to be the sell, the corporate office, right? To come and this is how you can measure, you know, the I don't want to call it the eliteness, but measure, you know, the prestige, you know, the address and how the lobby looks and how the reception area is, right? You didn't have that for 3 years. So right. Now bringing people back, it's got to be putting your best foot forward and making your company's identity the best it could. And if your chief of people, chief human resources, is not heavily involved in that, I don't know who is. I mean, we understand it's always been chief financial officer, and you know, we can discuss, you know, everything that they do, but it's, you know, they're at the end of the day choosing how much we should pay for this thing, and who should they be getting that feedback from? It's those that are recruiting and trying to bring the talent into the company.
Yeah, the office environment is truly an investment in the culture, and in therefore by extension, an investment in the engagement, the well-being, the performance of the workforce. We've just never really, at least not in the same way, we haven't looked at it like that.
Yeah,
I know that there was a time during the pandemic where people who were fully remote would take a job as well as quit that job and never having been on site at all, and was like, did I really even work there? It was a bizarre sort of experience. So I really like what you're saying about being...
People lost loyalty because they lost identity.
Yeah, 100%. I don't have any affiliation. And people now are looking for that type of connection and belonging and a physical environment that I can go to at least every once in a while, if not, you know, fairly regularly, right?
You have to take just as much, space if everyone comes in one day a week, right? Yeah. Some are trying to do the hybrid model where you do desk sharing. Every employee wants to come in. And then we always say, you know, partners of law firms, right? They come in one day a week. They come in 5 days a week. They want their own space, you know, in terms of confidentiality for certain places, it's not about how much you need or why you're coming in. It's just how we're going to get you there and how we're going to create the right environment for you to want to come back.
Here's one of the things I learned early on when it comes to leadership. The best leaders know how to build trust and motivate their people. And there are two ways you can do this. The first is to spend a whole bunch of time you don't have fumbling around and trying to figure out what makes the people around you tick. I wouldn't recommend that approach. The better technique is to use readily available tools to fast forward the insights you need so you can spend more time leading and less time playing guessing games. One of my favorite people first tools comes from the Predictive Index. The Predictive Index, affectionately known as PI, makes it easy to understand what each individual on your team needs out of a manager so you can personalize your leadership approach to get the best results. I can tell you with 100% certainty that the PI tools work for me, and they'll work for you too. I was first introduced to the Predictive Index way back in 2007, and it changed my leadership. 10 years ago, I joined the company, and I've been proud to contribute to the development of talent optimization and the PI tools that make it possible in organizations of all shapes and sizes. Using PI, you can coach, motivate, and develop each of your direct reports on their terms so you can move up in your career with less stress. Visit predictiveindex.com to learn more. To make it even easier for you, I'll put a link in the show notes. And now, let's get back to the show. Yeah, and kind of on that line, along those lines, you were telling me about an extremely large employer I know that was making some pretty significant moves in Manhattan. I wonder if you might share with us, you know, what is it that they were specifically looking for? I love that story.
Well, it's, you know, I said I coined a phrase, you know, the Google effect, right? And if you Google the Google effect, this won't come up. Maybe after this podcast, we'll grow it. But, you know, we're constantly working with, you know, the many large users of space and interviewing with organizations to help them understand their need. And, you know, we've established that, you know, Google's workplace includes the largest footprint on one floor than any other company in Manhattan. And they really also have this around the country. They either designed to have huge floor plates or they look for existing buildings that do. So a single floor in Google's New York City headquarters is larger than the square feet of most office buildings in New York City itself, right? Over what's called 100,000 square feet on one floor. You need scooters all around the workplace in order to, you know, to go back effectively. Or it could take you a few minutes, you know, to get from place to place. So what we do is, as a workforce and workplace advisor, when I see a company, which is one or a few of them that I'm working with now that we alluded to, right? And they're located across multiple floors, but they can be housed on one floor or significantly less, right? I get excited to approach them and bring them this Google effect because, you know, unless you want to be siloed by design, you know, it's a safe notion to suggest positive results for your organization can take place with more access to your colleagues and your peers, right? So if you if you're going to be on 10 different floors when you could be on one or two floors, you might as well be remote. You might as well, you know, do everything over Zoom or over phone, right? You want to have the ability to interact and be on one floor and see results. And, you know, if you judge, and you'll see how performance is done in companies that make that change, right? That's why over time, the data shows you do it, right? It's not only is it more efficient to not need, you know, common corridor areas and not need pantries, huge pantries on every floor, but to, you know, and hallways, but to be more efficient, right? So you not only see economic savings from the real estate standpoint, but you're also going to see collaborative savings, collaborative positive results and revenue generation from it.
It's incredible to think about that, but it's so true. If you put a stairwell or you put an elevator between two functions in your company, that is it might as well be a gigantic wall that they have to crawl. And that's just human nature, right? But if I happen to be walking back with my coffee from the kitchen and I see you at your desk, maybe I stop and say, oh, hey, that thing, I had a quick question about it, whatever it might be. And that has to factor into the real estate costs of either making a move, consolidating, changing up a lease, like all these types of things.
There are times I leave my door open for my office. Why? Because it has led to business because I overheard somebody saying something.
Right.
Just off of the ability to say, I did not follow up with that company, or I did not, you know, I need to read that article. And it led me to think of something else. You're sitting alone by yourself all day, and to think that you're not being able to grasp and see everything that's possible to go after, you're completely missing it.
Huge.
In my opinion.
It's hugely important. And I think one of the things that the nature of the work that you do is so different from what, you know, those of us who are working for a single organization get to experience, in that you have conversations with lots and lots of clients. Versus the average person who's even making or thinking about making a move, how often do they walk through other people's buildings? They just don't. So my question to you is that I can imagine that clients have always pressed you about, you know, hey, what are people paying per square foot? You know, we always want to know that. But what are they asking you now in terms of trying to get some information about what's happening
funny.
Out there?
It's so funny because, of course, we're still getting asked rent, right? You know, you got to lead with the deal, right? But it's all of a sudden I'm a change management advisor. Right. All of a sudden I'm involved in the operations of it. And now, you know, to peel it back, you know, I'm a corporate real estate advisor. Right. So everyone would believe that, hey, I'm a commercial real estate expert. Right. So commercial real estate expert is understanding the valuation of commercial real estate buildings and working on them. But I personally don't represent landlords. My whole company, we don't represent landlords. So I exclusively represent the occupier of real estate. So at times it's definitely so that all of my life is not planning and discussing and pitching to landlords. It's pitching it to operators, to companies and organizations on how to fill their space and how to do it. So certainly since the pandemic, a lot of us got, you know, bachelor's and master's in change management and within corporate functioning instead of just the corporate real estate functioning. So, you know, what they're asking could be, you know, questions that go far outside the realm of, you know, how much are we paying or what's the availability rate, in the market, in this submarket. So, you know, it's how many of our peers, I know you just met with that law firm. I know you just met with that bank, right? Are they back in the office yet 5 days a week? You know, that's question number one, right? Forget what the tenants, everyone wants to know. It used to be, what are they paying for rent? I want to know what we should be spending. No, right. They back in the office. What are they doing, right? You know, what type of hybrid scheduling companies are doing? So all of a sudden, I'm a hybrid I'm a scheduling expert for corporations, right? What type of amenities are they building in their workspace to create the right environment? You know, so at times we certainly are getting into the weeds of that corporate change management I alluded to, but you know, and now being my entire career focused on, you know, the corporate aspect of it. I'm really focused on the workforce meets workplace integration. And, you know, that's really where we see ourselves moving towards the future of those type of questioning to kick off a meeting. And it makes more sense that back to our point of the, you know, chief of human resources and chief of people, right? Those questions coming out of a CFO's, you know, mouth generally don't happen, right? The questions I just said that are changing are the ones that would come from head of operations and head of people.
Yeah. So if I'm running talent at that law firm, like you talked about, saying like, what are those schedules? Because I'd really like to know what others are up to.
Not, CFO wants to know what he's paying for electric, what the rent is, you know, how much is going to cost me to build. You know, those were traditionally the 1, 2, 3. And now you're getting into the different questions of, hey, how are we getting people back here?
Yeah. And so that leads me to a question, because eventually the CFO's got to get theirs, right? She's going to want to know how we pay for all this stuff. The question that I have for you is, how do you make a connection? Can it be quantified between what we're spending on real estate and what we're getting in return?
Right. So I want to say, you even pointed this out to me in one of our previous discussions, that the investment's already made, right? The investment is already made. The long-term commitment to the lease has been made. You already purchased your headquarters. So you want to be able to get that return on your investment. How do we measure it? That's what's important. I'm not forcing you now to make an investment. We've already committed to it, whether it be, whether it be the board approved it, whether it be we already have time left on our lease and now it's a decision to how to make it better, right? So, that is the $1 billion, or, for some companies and their leases, multi-billion-dollar question, right? That's the recipe that I'm focused on trying to perfect every single day and trying to get to the forefront of it, right? So the self-assessment, self-reflection by the employees regarding the workplace, right? I do believe that corporate real estate itself can be the unsung hero for a company culture, right? And I'm reading this because I say it more than ever I've ever done it before, right? A workforce that's energetic and passionate about being together will create positive results, right? At times, a certain workforce, employee, or a newly added amenity to the workplace, they're going to be what I call the stats that don't show up on the scoreboard, but at the end of the quarter can be defined by increased earnings, right? You hope that an investment in the right workplace will have a great impact on protecting your investment, on hiring the right people. So, I can't say it any more clear than that. And it's something that I'm trying to, it's kind of like the new mantra. And I will say that you helped me kind of define it even in our previous conversation.
Yeah, there's definitely a relationship there. You want to work in the conditions that help you to work at your best, right? Mm-hmm. And so clearly when you're going into the office, whether it's 2 days a week, 5 days a week, anywhere in between, you're going to want to make sure that you have the right environment, amenities. If you need to get together and huddle around a whiteboard because maybe you're a software programming team, like, can you do that easily, or is it a total pain? And so I think that there's definitely an understanding, there's a relationship there, but the ability to actually calculate that, project that out, that's something that we're getting to. And I guess that's a question I have for you, Andrew. Like, what can I do? What let's say that I'm in a lease. Let's say I'm in that law firm like you talked about, and I've gotten the details from you about who's doing what around town. But like, what other types of common decisions do you see executives making about what they can do with their existing office space to try to, get that energized workforce you're talking about?
Well, a lot of times, and one of my mentors, taught me this, which a lot of even professionals don't do before you take a meeting, and which is crazy to think about that you weren't able to do during COVID, was, hey, can we take a walk around your workplace before we sit down and talk, right? And that's kind of now what has to be the measurement of, hey, the consulting part of it, right? How can we make this better? You are sitting here because we're going to make an investment, because we've made that investment. How do I make it better, right? And when I started with the where, the how, right? The where, to the why, and the how of to get them back to work. This is where, again, the most important point is trying to be discovered, okay? So, hey, does our workplace still work, right? The location, the size, where's the labor analytics that you can provide us of where people are coming? Where do we attract? We have a whole workforce, group that basically identifies where the best talent is coming from, right? What universities have, or what companies, what universities have majors in the expertise that we need, right? We go in and we search that, right? We take a whole study of where your current zip code analysis is for all your employees, right? To see if they've moved, right? Think about if you did a 10-year lease or a 5-year lease commitment, right? Which is very standard, sometimes longer, and then where COVID was, and then today, think about the zip code changes that have taken place within your organization from its employees.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So just that small, that's one of 20, 30 different types of analytics that we could put together in what companies that what we call the data you were requesting, right? Or we're talking about. Those are types of data that we're analyzing on just to be able to identify whether this is the right place for you. You know, and then it goes into the workplace strategy, which is determining what is important for the company to have them excited about being in this space, right? And then the implementation of making that happen.
It's so true and it's so powerful. And it's complex. There's a lot of variables that go into it, especially I love what you were saying, which was thinking about the future culture, the future for the organization, what they need, like how are we going to grow into either recruiting or hiring a different type of worker, for example, or making sure we have the amenities for the future workers who we're trying to attract in a very competitive job market. Like these things become really, really important. I had an experience once where I was working with a community bank and they were talking about, we got to become more innovative. We got to be more agile. And I'm looking around and all I see are cubicles and offices with closed doors, no whiteboards, dark wood everywhere, very much old school, outdated. And I thought, if you're not going to change your interior design, you're not changing this culture. There's no way.
Mm-mm.
So being intentional about it, making sure everything matches, that it fits, and not looking at the money as saying, well, if I have to pay an extra dollar per square foot, that space is not good. Well, wait a second. Maybe if it gives you sort of all on one floor, like you talked about, it gave you that chance to walk around. Let's not be so short-sighted about that money, because it could come back to us with innovation, ideas, collaboration, the things that we say we want.
Well, you've got to imagine that my office, right? We have to hit on every single thing you just said, right?
The perfect office.
So we have to, you know, we it's funny, you know, if you're gonna be a corporate occupier advisor, I better have the best, you know, corporate work office that we do. And during the pandemic, we ended up investing in creating, you know, that what we believe is the perfect environment, because that's the first question we have is, you know, well, what are you doing? Right.
Yeah.
You know, you'd expect.
So smart.
Right. So we're on one floor. Right. We ended up, you know, we're on one floor. We have so many employees that we ended up having to do a couple of different floors. But for certain groups, you know, we're about 75,000 square feet. We have on one floor. So one of the largest floor plates also outside of Google in Manhattan. And we put all of our, you know, consulting and corporate real estate advisory professionals, brokers on one floor. And then we put some professional services on another floor. But then our furniture and the greenery that we put in this place, right? The amount of plants that we have and climate and energy. And, you know, you have to check every single box that we put in. Everything is glass front. We got rid of the doors, you know, where we're solid wood doors that you can't see anybody, right? So everything that you've just hit on is what changes that we've had to make. And, you know, listen, there's a whole sector of the industry of workplace, which is interior design and furniture and everything. It's those are topics we could go on for on another day and certainly other expertise, but it all goes into, you know, defining how to get them back to work and what people are wanting, and then the new trends that are taking place within the workplace design.
I love it. Andrew, I'm going to get you out of here with my easiest question I'll have for you all day. Wow. Where can my listeners go to learn more about you?
I am doing my best to grow my LinkedIn. I think it's a really awesome platform. So certainly Andrew Zhang on LinkedIn, Savills, Savills. I'm really trying to, you know, provide good intel there on the platform. I'm hoping that I can, you know, post some of this podcast also on it. And then, you know, you can also just find me on my company website or check me out on LinkedIn. I'm doing a cool little coaching emotion you could find me on. And you can see some of my fun quotes and my space tours and follow me there.
I love it. And listeners, I'm going to have those links for you in the show notes. So you're only one click away from getting over and learning all about Andrew and the great work you're doing. Andrew, thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate you sharing your knowledge.
Thank you. This was awesome.
Here are my luxurious yet energy efficient top three takeaways from today's episode. 1, location, location, location. Many companies have begun to return to the office, but we need to ensure that we're asking why workers want to come back and how they want to do their work. 2, make room for HR. While CEOs and CFOs once managed real estate transactions, our people leaders now need to weigh in. The workplace needs to reflect your intentional culture and the needs of your workforce more than ever. 3, make it count. If you're counting on collaboration, innovation, and efficiency, your real estate had better be up to the task. While we don't always run the same people-intensive numbers, they show up on our bottom lines all the same. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Strong reviews help shows like mine get noticed. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss your next opportunity to learn, lead, and live at your best. Thanks for making this investment in your leadership ability, and thanks for sharing this podcast with another aspiring leader who needs to hear it. All right, leaders, until next time, don't just manage the business when you can lead the people.